the healer. Everybody say, Jesus heals.
Jesus heals.
Say it again. Jesus heals.
Jesus heals.
Jesus heals. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let me just say this. This series, we're going to get into a lot of things, aspects about healing, but you will know absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will to heal everybody of everything all the time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You're also going to understand you have a covenant of healing. And in a covenant, there are different parties involved. It's not just all God. That sovereignty doctrine, you can kiss it. That is the one of the worst doctrines ever perpetrated on the body of Christ, that God is in control. Well, if that's the case, why is there so much sin and murder and rape and torture and tyrants happening in this world? That's not God's will. See, we live in a fallen world where the will of God is not realized to its fullest capacity. It doesn't operate like heaven does. The reason why that sovereignty doctrine is false coming right out of the gates is found in the Lord's Prayer. Why would Jesus pray and tell us to pray that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven if his will was already done here?
Amen.
It's not. We have a big part in playing, in knowing his will. And I'd say this message is a timely message, even if by virtue of supply and demand. I mean, recently, we have been attacked. There are a lot of people out today that are under attack. It tried to come on me, you know. And to a measure, you know, it hit all of us, but it was trying to take us out. And that's what sickness does. It seeks to destroy a testimony. It seeks to do. I take sickness in my body as a personal affront to God. That's what you need to do. Just, you know, and we're going to learn how to do that too in this, because we're going to understand the power of life residing in the Word of God too. And later in the series, we're going to look at the laws of the Spirit concerning healing and how to operate in those laws. Amen. Medical science aids healing by administering medicine to the physical body. Divine healing it comes through the Spirit. It's how God administers life and healing through the human spirit. It's just as, and it's better, and it's more complete than natural healing. A lot of times the medications they give you, all they do is mask the symptoms, mask the pain, but they don't uproot and they don't take care of the source of that. God goes to the source.
Amen.
Amen. His word goes down and it's ministered through the human spirit. Psalm 107:20 says, God sent his word and healed them.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't say he sent his word to heal them. It says he sent his word and healed them, meaning when God speaks, it's done. When God speaks, it is spiritual law that cannot be altered. He said in Psalm 89, verse 34, he said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth from my lips. He will not change what he says. His word is forever settled in heaven. And when we agree with his word here on the earth, the power of that is released. Why? Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. When we receive his words, they go into our spirit, and the life of those words start germinating in our spirit, and they reproduce after their own kind. That's why the pattern of Jesus, he would teach and preach, and then he would heal. The word would land. The word would start to sprout. Inspiration would come. Faith would come. And then he could lay hands on and heal them. Then he didn't have to do that after a while, because people were doing all this preaching for him. Look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. I was a leper. I was da-da-da-da-da. Look at it. I was deaf. Now I was blind, but now I see. They were carrying on his message. Why? Because they were his living epistles. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to know these things. But before we start, and it's important concerning this subject and any other subject, is that our only authority and our only standard is the Word of God. We don't look at people's experiences or opinions. Our standard is the Word of God. That is the only standard we recognize. Whether it's me as the pastor of this church, anybody who speaks at this pulpit, anybody who teaches, adults, youth, or children, our board of directors, our advisory board, and our leaders in this church, our standard, and the only standard that we recognize is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. You can take your experiences, you can take all of that. They don't count as much as the Word of God, because whatever we speak, it'll wither up and go away, but His Word will stand forever.
Amen.
Amen. So, let's make Jesus glad and the devil mad. And let's say our confession here. Amen. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability powering me. This word is God's
counsel
guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Luke chapter 5, we're talking, the subtitle of this is I Will. And in verse 12, it says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, and seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. You can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according to Moses, as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. You know, Jesus wanted him to just, if you get healed, if you get touched by the Lord in some way, if the Lord speaks to you in a worship service, write it down. Start building a testimony of Christ in your life, a testimony of progress, a testimony of hearing from God. Start building a track record in your life, those things that He speaks to you. This is why I'm saying, Jesus said, who he has ears to hear, let him hear. He wasn't talking about these. They all had these. It was the voice inside. When He's speaking, that's who you listen to on the inside. I'm speaking to you now. It's not so important what I say to you, but the voice inside of you, that's quickening things to you that He's bringing to your remembrance. And it may have nothing to do with what I'm speaking, but it may be something else. So write those things down. Pay attention to those things. So he said, Lord, if you will, I know you can heal me. Lord, if you will, you can. Lord, if you will, you can. Is there a lot of that kind of prayer going on today? Hello?
Yes.
Is there a lot of this kind of prayer? Oh, Lord, heal me, if it be thy will. You know? Well, you know, this guy had a right to pray that way. But he had no idea of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He had no idea of the completion of redemption that was going to happen. Peter, looking back to the cross, said, Himself bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's no longer a promise. That's a statement of fact of something that has already happened. You were healed. God doesn't look at you as a sick trying to get healed. You may be sick, but He calls you the healed. And when you agree with Him, you're agreeing with things that you don't see, that you are calling to be as though they were. Now, here's the difference. If you're sick, don't say, I'm not sick, 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 I'm sick. I'm not sick. You're calling something that is as though it was not.
Right.
You can't do that. That's not faith. That's ignorance. And I'm guilty. We've all done that. You know, what we need to do is call that which is not as though it were.
Right.
that which is not yet revealed to our physical senses, but is a reality in the spirit as a statement of fact of redemption, when we agree with that which is already done, then it manifests in our body. And it's so simple, it takes a revelation. This is not hard. It says in Colossians 2:6, as you have received the Lord, so walk you in him. How did you receive the Lord? By faith. You believed in his complete work. You accepted him as your Savior. You confessed him as your Lord. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? The same way. You understood the reality of the Holy Spirit, that he came to live upon you and abide in you with his gifts. He came with gifts. He came with power. Amen. How did you receive him? The same way. You believed in your heart and pum brakaramas mreka horilama, and it starts, and he started to manifest himself, right? Healing is no different. Because Jesus said he's already sent the Holy Spirit. He already died for us. Salvation has already been procured. You don't have to beg him to heal, to save you. You just come and receive. You don't have to beg for the Holy Spirit. You just come and receive. You don't have to beg for healing. You don't have to ask him to heal you. He's already done it. Just come and receive. Amen. What does the word receive mean? Come on, help me out here. It means to take. That's what it means to receive. It means to literally, faith takes that which grace has already provided. Say that with me. Faith takes what grace has already provided. That's what faith does. Faith is your servant. So he said, if you will, you can heal me. That's not a good prayer for us to pray, but it was good for him to pray, being under the old covenant, having not any revelation or any. Look, what was this guy doing? He was in a city, in the public, close enough to people. Jesus always had throngs of people around him, right? And he's walking in a certain city, and it came to pass that this leper came. The law condemned him. He would be stoned if he was in public around people. But it doesn't say that he just got leprosy. It says he was full of it. He was infested with it. You know what leprosy is? It's walking death. It's where chunks of your skin just start to die, and your bone, they start to die. Your body, it's a walking death, and it just gets worse and worse and still starts eating you up from the inside. It's a terrible disease. It was one of the devil's cleverest inventions. There's another thing I'm going to say too. Sickness and disease is not of God. Sickness and disease are of the devil. They are under the curse of the law. And we're going to go into that a little bit too. Because when you read the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, you're reading what you have been redeemed from. Everything in that under that curse, which includes, by the way, in verse 60 or 61, it says every sickness that is not listed here is also under the curse. So you can, this is what I've been delivered from. This is what, make a list and start confessing it every day. I've been delivered from this. I've been delivered from that. I've been delivered from fear, terror, regret, remorse, sorrow, grief, and all of these things. I've been delivered from sickness and disease. Hemorrhoids. You know what those are. That's an old English word for hemorrhoids. You've been delivered from all of that. But see, God knows what's going on. He knows. Amen. He knows everything is wrong with you, and he loves you anyhow. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So this guy is in the streets, and can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's like all of a sudden you're with Jesus and you're walking with, and all of a sudden, boom, this guy comes crunching his way through, falls on his face before Jesus. He's a leper. They were taught this, and this is why this guy was going through something. They were taught that he has leprosy. These things happen because he sinned. Or these things happen because his parents sinned. that they've disgraced God or they've disgraced the law of some reason, and that's why it happened. Well, it may be sin that caused it, because disease is the result of sin. It may not be your sin. We live in a fallen world, and there is a backlash of sin in here. This guy had no protection, the same protection that we have. We have a foundation in the Word of God where we know the will of God. We know that He paid the price for our salvation at the cross, but He paid for something else at that whipping post. It was for your physical healing. And when that crown of thorns was placed on His head, that paid for mental healing and emotional healing, right? When the blood dripped down from Him, when His heart was breaking in the garden, that's emotional healing, providing that. He did a total work. It's done. It's finished. And God calls it done, 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 39 times. Done, done, done. So here's the thing. Jesus is at the whipping post. Whack! The first whack of that, it's a cat of nine tails, with chunks of metal and bone and everything else in it the devil loves to torture people. There's no redemption for him. He's beyond redemption. And this was invented to inflict the most pain, and they were hoping he would die before he even got to the cross, so they wouldn't have to do it. Because the cross was reserved for the worst criminals. And it says, the chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. That's an old English way of saying, he was chastised with what we deserve so that his peace could come on us. So in other words, let's say the sin of the world came on Jesus at the cross. That's where everything concluded. But he paid for your sickness. He paid for your healing at the whipping post. And that started in the garden, the healing of your soul, the healing of your emotions. And at the whipping post, he took your physical sicknesses and disease and he paid for them. And here's what happens is, that took every case, even if you did sin, that took every case the devil has against you, and he can't bring sickness against you. He has no legal right to do that. We call it double jeopardy, where you can't be blamed for a crime that you've already been judged not guilty for. The blood wiped out your sin. It wiped out all of that, so that you cannot be held accountable and have to pay for sin with any sickness or disease. So even if you did sin, it doesn't even matter. The devil has no case. It's been removed from his case. Now, he will lie, and he'll try to convince you that you did this, that, and the other thing, and you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it anyway. Either do anybody. None of us deserve healing. But God provided it so that we can come and take it. Take it. Take it. You know, this happened one of Keith Moore's meetings one time. I don't know if I mentioned this recently, but he was preaching on this word receive. It means to take. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive. Believe you take it when you pray, and you shall have it. And this lady came up afterwards, and she showed him like two or three pages of notes that she took. He said, well, that's nice. I'm glad. Thank you for showing me that. She said, no, you don't understand. I had a stroke a year and a half ago. I haven't been able to write a thing for a year and a half. You said to take it, so I took it. And I went like this at first. I did this. And then I took the pen out of the guy was sitting next and took the pen. Yeah. And she, after 10 minutes or so of trying to make her hand work, she said, I take it. I take it. I took this. And she started writing. And she wrote 2.5-3 pages of notes. It's as close as the next words you say. I'm telling you, it's true. If you ask the Lord to heal you, you're asking him to do something that he's already given you to do. Yes. Be thou clean. He said, I will. Be thou clean. You be clean. Didn't he say that? Yeah. Or is that the Bible? You may be going through all kinds of upheaval in your life, you know, and you can go to God and say, well, God, you're a comforter, right? Yeah, I live in you. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to take your comfort. I'm going to take it. I'm going to receive it. And I receive that comfort to push out all of the anguish, all of the whatever it is that's bothering my mind right now, and I push it out. Because I know that I'm better than Judas. And you called him friend, covenant friend, brother. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. You stick to me closer than any brother. Why wouldn't he heal you? You see what I mean? And the thing is, he already has. There are two prayers that God won't answer. He will not answer a prayer that asks him to do something he's already done. And he will not answer a prayer that asks him to do something that he's already placed under your authority to do. All the categories under that, you got to understand, you have a big part to play in miracles. Miracles are conceived. This is the way the business world works, too. I mean, you get a guy who has this idea, this vision, this dream, this inspiration, and he builds a company. He designs a product. He does these things, and he provides jobs, and da-da-da-da, and it grows and grows and grows. Well, where did that come from? It came from an idea. It came from a vision. So forth. You see, even fallen people in the world who are not born again, they are still a spiritual being. Their spirit is dead, but it's still a warped system that they live under the God of this world, but it's just out of sync with God because they're living under the laws of sin and death, but it works the same way. They have a dream, an inspiration, something inside of them that inspires them to go and do and build, right? Why would we think it works any different in the kingdom? God gave you a vision when you were first born again. He gave you a vision of your calling. And if you go back and look, and you can see yourself doing the things, if you go back to those original dreams that God gave you, the original visions, the hope that was blossomed in your heart when you were born again. Do you remember the day you were born again? God sure does. I mean, pens were writing in heaven that day. Angels were busy that day. God remembers that day that you were born again. He celebrates it. God loves you, and he has a purpose for you. Jesus healed everybody that came to him for healing, got healing. Not one person left without their healing. Sometimes he had to manage it a little bit to get faith in them, but he knew how to get faith into people. Amen. And he knew everybody who came to him. He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 9, different places in the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It's all manner. Other places he said he healed them. Others said he healed them all. But nobody left who was seeking healing. Nobody left Jesus without being healed. Always. He came and he was filled with the Spirit of God. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That shows you that sickness and disease comes from the devil. That the Holy Spirit, who ministered through Jesus to heal all of these people. Well, let's go back to, are we in Acts chapter 10, verse 38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what?
Good.
Doing good. It's good to heal. It's bad to be sick. Amen? I was sick a few times in my life. Man, it was no fun. It wasn't good. Put it that way. See, if you're going to live the life that God called you to live, you're going to have to know the author of life. How's that? You're going to have to know that Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. That's the open door to entering into the life that God created you to live. The author of life healed incurable diseases, as we just saw in Luke chapter 5. The miracles were sometimes progressive miracles. We see that in the Gospels. Sometimes they were instant miracles. But in any case, they were healed. Deliverance came. Healing miracles, creative miracles. He restored limbs, eyes, eardrums. Amen. He kicked out demons that held people dumb and deaf, too. Miracles of life-giving resurrection power. When he raised the widow's son, the widow of Nain, her son from the dead. That little girl, he raised her. He said, Talitha kumai. Little girl, I say unto you, arise. And she did. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, there was nothing that could stop him. You have the same Holy Spirit on you that he had on him. Boy, I should have got a better... You have the same Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you that you may be witnesses of me. This is the Jesus. This is the author of life who the Holy Spirit bears witness of. And he comes with gifts to empower you. Gifts of healing. Gifts of discerning of spirits. Gifts of faith and miracles. Gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. This is the author of life who he bears witness of. That's why you need the Spirit. Amen. Not so you can say, you can please repent. Please repent and receive Jesus so you can be just like me. No, you should receive power. Amen. What kind of power? Miracle working power. He said, you shall receive dunamis. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit didn't do it. Jesus never did a miracle until the Holy Spirit came on him in the River Jordan. Amen. And you know what he did? The first thing he did, he went in the wilderness. He defeated Satan. Satan came at him in probably the strongest areas that he could possibly come at Jesus. If he attacked his identity. If you're the Son of God. Jesus could have said, what do you mean if? He didn't say that, did he?
No.
Turn the stones into bread. Prove something. Do something to prove something. Do something to prove who you are. Who you are. Do tricks. Do what they can't do. Or he said, jump off the building. You got to have help to misunderstand that. He's trying to get Jesus to kill himself. You know? You know what? If you bow, I'll give you the whole world and everything in it. Then the people will listen to you. I mean, all these things were to produce something. And you know what? Jesus answered him with a word every time. It is written. It is written. This is why our authority and the only authority that we recognize is the Word of God. But you know why? It's the only authority the devil recognizes too. And it's the only authority recognized in heaven. Is the written word of God. And that written word of God says, Jesus, 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 who said, I will. I will. This is the lifestyle of the firstborn from the dead. You're up with him. Death and all the laws of death and the laws of sin and death no longer rule you. This is why Paul said in Romans 6:14, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Boy, that sounds good. Almost sounds like a dream. How can you say that? Because it doesn't. It's been defeated. Jesus defeated sin, sickness, demons, fear, Satan, the grave, death. Just throw it out. He defeated everything that holds everybody else in bondage. But we have been liberated because we have risen up in him. We are in Christ and we are no longer in Adam. The name of Jesus has more power than you can conceive of. You can't just understand it. It says, you believe that there's one God, so do the demons also believe and they tremble. Do you know the demons shake when you say the name of Jesus? They start to tremble. There are no agnostic demons. Oh, people think they're so smart. Jesus operated in the word of knowledge. We see it so times in the Bible. He says, Philip, I saw you under that tree. You know, the woman at the well. You see, you have these gifts on the inside of you. And you have gifts of healing residing on the inside of you. Gifts of healing. And you also have the word of God saying that you have already been healed. That's his covenant reality. Now, the difference between, let's say, a promise and a redemptive fact is, let's look at James chapter 1. He says, if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not, right? And it will be given to him. That's a promise. That's a promise. He will give something to you that you need. That's a promise. But when he says, by whose stripes you were healed, now that's a redemptive fact. When he says, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, you don't have to ask God to bless anybody. It says they've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven. It's up to them to bring those blessings into reality, into manifestation in the physical realm. It's already been done. I love Andrew Womack's book. You already have it. You already have it. You already have those things that he has already declared that you have. The death occurred, the will, and everything written in that will has already been transferred to you. God said it is finished, and when he said it is finished, everything was transferred over. You are heirs of the will. It belongs to you. It's up to you to use it. How do you do that? Boy, reapers with our mouth. What do we do? We believe it in our heart. Lord, you said, I'm healed. Therefore, I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. So now I speak. I did this with my knee, too. I tore the cartilage in my knee. And for, 6.5 weeks? 3, 4, 5 times a day. Well, it started 8 times a day, just confessing. I took the little CAPS book. All those confessions on healing in the back. And it would take me about 20 minutes to get through it. I was doing that 8 times a day, talking to my knee. Why? Because this knee was originally created from the soil of this earth. The word is seed. And it goes into the soil. And it produces a harvest. And I was doing it 8 times a day. Knee, I call you normal in the name of Jesus. You function. You are a joint that supplies. I started, word of God, word of God, word of God, speaking the word to my knee. Then after a couple of weeks, I was doing 4 to 6 times a day. And another 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 times a day. I was in the shower one morning, realized my knee didn't hurt anymore. And it was good. I said, see, the word of God works, but you got to work it.
Right.
This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom they sent. It's believing is work. But it's not physical labor work. It's simply believing in your heart.
Amen.
And speaking with your mouth. And the more you do that, the more strength you'll have to resist the doubt, resist the fear. I mean, the devil was coming at me and said, I'm going to infect that knee and you're going to lose your leg. He was saying all kinds of things to me. You know? He will get you to back off. But the one thing you don't want to do is drop back off from the very word that's going to change the situation. That's why he comes at it so much, so hard. This is why you've got to be ready. You've got to be armed so that when the symptom comes, this is how fast life happens. A symptom comes, you say, oh, and your body starts to, and then what do? You take the thought saying, I'm sick, and you just gave the devil license. You gave that sickness license with your own mouth. This is why he's after your tongue. It's a world of iniquity. Set on fire of hell, it says. So, but it doesn't have to be that way because you've got a well of life on the inside of you. Amen. And you can draw from that well of life anytime you want. It's at your disposal. To speak life.
Hallelujah.
Speak life. Remember that Toby Mac song? Speak life. I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will. Turn to, let's just go down a little bit in the chapter here. In Luke chapter 5. And look at verse 25. No, I'm sorry, that's Mark. Luke, yeah, verse 17. He says, and it came to pass on a certain day he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Boy, that's a big crowd. And this is in Jesus' house, by the way. Jesus operated out of, this is in his house. And you had some of the finest wagons, I'd say like coaches and so forth, so, with the finest Lexus type of travel equipment that they had, right? These were the cream of the cream. Coming up and wanting to hear Jesus. It came out of every town in Galilee, every town in Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them. Does it say any of them got healed? No. And behold, a man brought in a bed which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find a way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. I bet this turned Jesus on so good. And when he saw their faith, what did he see? You see, your faith has evidence. Your faith produces corresponding actions that correspond to what you believe. And he saw them doing something. That's what he saw. He saw their faith and said to the man, man, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, why do you reason in your hearts? Is it easier to say their sins be forgiven or say arise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, and go to your house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. None of the doctors of the law were really, they were shocked. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. You know, not one of these guys had a problem with healing, with Jesus healing this young man. They had no problem with that at all. Healing was in the law. They would do sacrifices if somebody was healed, and they were, as a testimony and so forth. We just read about that, what Jesus said to the leper. They had a big problem with him forgiving sins. A lot of people think this is where they turned. This is where they turned against him right here. Now, flip-flop this to the present day. People have no problem with Jesus forgiving them their sin. But they have a problem with Jesus healing everybody of everything all the time. Well, we just read all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. He said, I will. He proved his will when he when he built this right into the covenant of healing, when he went to that whipping post, for a totally different purpose than forgiving our sins. The cross was for forgiving our sins. That whipping post was to bring healing. You don't have to take sickness. You don't have to take disease. You don't have to take abnormalities. You don't have to take pains. You don't have to take grief into your heart and let it rule you anymore. Jesus became all of that and took it from you. He filled you with his Spirit. So now you have the joy of the Holy Spirit. You have the peace of Jesus, and you can walk in authority over those things because sin no longer has dominion over you. Is that clear?
Yes.
Let me close with this. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Before you even had a sniffle in your nose, there was the Word. Before you even breathed, before you were even a glint in your father's eye, there was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in what? The darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend, did not comprehend it. And then in verse 14, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father. So the good news here is, you may be in darkness about healing. You may be looking at, you may be at the bottom of the mountain looking up at this thing, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You're not. He already did it. You just receive what he did for you by faith and apply it into your life until it starts coming alive. Amen. Say, how long should I meditate on these healing scriptures? Until Amen. Those scriptures start talking to you. Until those scriptures start, see, life happens that fast. This is why you've got to be instant, in season and out of season. You've got to be alert, watching, because your enemy, the lion, as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. And the only way he can do it, he can't force something on you. The only way he can do it is through your cooperation. That's why he goes after this. If he can get your words to speak, your mouth to speak his words rather than God's words, you've already agreed with him. Amen?
Amen.
He is full of grace, full of truth. And that grace provides what faith takes, and that truth liberates you to do it. I know divine healing remains a mystery to many. I went online. Keith Moore wrote 101 things that God says about healing. You ought to go through this list. This is good. He said, I am the Lord that heals you. Look at the names of God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our victory. Jesus is all those things. And that Jesus went to the cross. That Jesus rose from the dead. That Jesus lives in you, anointed with the Holy Spirit to redo the things that Jesus did and greater things than he did. Did he say that?
Yes.
He said it. And if he said it, it is spiritual law. It cannot be departed from. It cannot fail. If he said something, it is law in the spirit. Spiritual. And Jesus said, what did he say? What was the spiritual law that came out of his mouth? I will. I will. Be thou clean. So he said, my name. Now, if God says that he is the Lord our healer, what right does any man to say, to change that and say, no, that's who he was. He doesn't do that anymore. What right does any man have to say, no, he's not Jehovah Rapha anymore. He used to be. No, he says, Malachi 3:6, he says, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. you receive him, he'll change your situation. He'll change the condition of your body. He'll change the condition of your mind. He'll change the condition of your emotions. He'll change the condition of everything. And when you receive him, you are totally recreated in his image and likeness. Well, I tell you, you got a furnace on the inside that's boiling and boiling and boiling and boiling. But this is your thermostat right here. I'll close with a short story. Charles Capps wrote about this guy who came into a church. The guy lived out of town, and he didn't go to church very often, and he came to church one day, and it was really cold in the church that day. And he saw one of the ushers go up to the wall, to this little thing, and turn the thermostat up, and a few minutes later, wow, it was nice and warm all of a sudden. And he said, what did you do? He said, I just did the thermostat. He said, where do you get those? He said, at the hardware store. So he went and got a thermostat and put it on his wall. And he turned it up to like 80. Nothing was happening. The thermostat wasn't connected to any source. It wasn't connected to a furnace or an air conditioning unit or anything. That's why it's important. When you speak the word of God, you are connecting to the source of life, the source of health, the source of healing, the source of deliverance, the source of everything that you need in your life. You're hooked up to the source.
Amen.
Ha. Yeah. Say it. Believe it in your heart. Yeah. Say it with your mouth. Yeah. Yes. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Can you feel the furnace start going up? Okay. Yes. Believe it in your heart. Yes. Say it with your mouth. Yes. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth.
Yes.
The mountain will move.
Yes.
The disease will depart. Yes. The hearing will be restored.
Hallelujah.
The arthritis has to go. Everything that's wrong with you has to go because the word of God is the only authority that we go by. And when you raise that authority and slam him right between the eyes with it, you're just like Jesus saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And you'll notice something? If you read through the Gospels, and I have not found another place in the Gospel where the devil ever came and talked to Jesus ever again. He incited crowds to do his dirty work, to get his mind off and to get him on the people. He did everything he possibly could, but he himself never approached Jesus again. He left the wilderness with his tail between his legs, wondering, what in the world? Can you imagine the joy that the devil was celebrating when Jesus, when he finally got him crucified? Could you imagine? They were like Narnia when they killed the lion. Remember that? And they're all celebrating, whipping it up, and they'll say, oh. That, he knew. He knew the jig was up right there. And when you say his name, he doesn't have a chance. Why? Because he will, and he did, and we will, and we do it. Father, hey. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our path. Your word is the authority that created heaven and earth. Your word is the healing power. We thank you for the life that's in the word. We thank you that it is medicine to all of our flesh. All of it. We talk to our brains right now. We talk to our brains. Function normally in the name of Jesus. Function at your highest capacity now in the name of Jesus. We speak to our souls right now. And we ask you, Father, anybody who needs healing in their soul, their emotions, their mind, we confess before you, Father, say this, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
That's the anointed mind.
To think God's thoughts about me.
To think his thoughts about my situation.
I'm not under anything.
I am in control of everything.
Because
he's given
me authority.
I have authority over my body.
I have
And I take that authority now.
And I take that authority now.
And I receive.
And I receive.
I take healing in my body. Bones come together. Muscles come together. Ligaments and tendons. Organs. Heart. Lungs. Kidney. Pancreas. Function. If you have problem with sugars, talk to your pancreas now and say, I raise you from the dead. I resurrect you from the dead. I speak words of life. Pancreas, you come to life now in the name of Jesus. You live. You serve me and this body. Poya maki. I praise you, Jesus. Speak to your body. Any broken things in your being, call them together now. Call them. Go like this with your hands and come together now in the name of Jesus. Come together now. I take it. Connect now. I'm speaking to you, body. Come together. Now. Is there any reason you can think of why that wouldn't happen? Of course not. You know, the Living Bible, when the leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can heal me. You know what the Living Bible says? Jesus said, of course I will. Be clean. Of course. It's not even a question with God. Did God ask that leper? He's okay. Did God ask that leper, have you been good? Have you broken the Ten Commandments? Have you gone to synagogue recently? Or have you missed it? He didn't ask him any questions. Nothing. Does he ever ask you, now, do you deserve healing? Have you been living right? No, he paid for it all. It's gone. It's not even on the table for discussion. That's how powerful the blood is, and that's how much you're his kin. You're his own family. You're one with him. He loves you. Why would he withhold anything? He didn't withhold his only son. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for your word, Lord. We confess. That's why we bring your word back, because we know that your word that has gone into our spirit, when it comes back to you, will not return to you void. But it has accomplished in us what you sent it to do, and it pleases you that it did it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to come if you want prayer for anything else. Maybe you just need somebody to agree with you. That's fine. Avail yourself of that. Miracles happen at this altar.
Amen.
Let's blow that horn, Jolene.